beam, because it's time for Nerdy for 30, the podcast where we talk about nerdy-ish movies for 30-ish minutes. My name is Kevin Bauer, a.k.a. The Critic's Choice. With me, as always, the people's champ, Tim Kack. And today, we're talking about Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Yeah.
You really took your time finishing that sip of water. That was a real, you just really let it settle there for a minute.
I liked it. I think we both kind of liked it and enjoyed it, but not in an, this is a good movie way, in an, this is like a nice, comfortable feeling. And it's cool to be in this. It's nice to get this hug again, you know, to be held for a little bit in the warm embrace. That is the Ghostbusters world. There's way too many people in it. It's confusing. I'm sure it doesn't really make a ton of sense. Kamal's in this for some reason. And it's a mess. It's an absolute mess, but I enjoyed the whole thing. I had a great time at the theater watching it. It was very fun, very nostalgic. And it's good to see the gang again.
Tim, I completely agree. This is the Age of Ultron of the Ghostbusters franchise.
I think
that's really the best thing you can say out of this. It seems like there's so much world building they're trying to do in this, and they're trying to pick up so many threads that were dropped in 1991 when Ghostbusters 2 came out. And it's kind of exhausting on one hand, but then on the other hand, it does just feel very basically fun to exist in this world. We saw this with our pal Spencer. Shout out Spencer. At the end of the movie, he was like infuriated that nobody was ever in real danger in this movie. And we're like, Spencer, it's Ghostbusters.
Fuck off, Spencer. I'll say it here. I said it then. I'll say it again here. You just don't get the movie. This is just supposed to be fun. They clearly don't care about any of this stuff. I mean, the entire cast of this movie somehow moved from Oklahoma to New York, and they don't like acknowledge that. Like, everyone in the original movie is just in New York City now doing this stuff. It doesn't make any sense. Ernie Hudson apparently is like a billionaire playboy or whatever, financing all these secret things.
Playboy philanthropist.
Philanthropist. And I threw in the playboy thing. I'd like to think he's having fun.
Yeah,
you know, he worked hard for that money. I hope he's spending it on himself.
Golden years, Tim. This is golden years.
Ernie Hudson has all this money, and yet the firehouse that they live in is falling apart. It's a dilapidated mess. There's like fungus growing on the walls. He doesn't give a shit about that. Yeah, it's a portal to another dimension, and like the most important thing in all of the world, maybe all of New York City.
That's
at least
such a good point.
And he's just letting it rot in a building that, by the way, his friends are living in. It's like, it's just, none of this makes sense. It's just fun. It's fun to see him. It's nice to hang out with him. I don't think I need to see the original Ghostbusters anymore.
I will back this up. I will fight people. I said this in the theater. I stand by it now. I am probably in the top 1% of Ghostbusters fans under the age of, I'll say, 45. I've got to be up there. I've watched the original movie more times than I can count. I've analyzed the script page by page, line by line. I have timestamps broken down when certain things. I've analyzed this movie to an insane extent, Tim.
The original. Where do you stand on 2?
2, I think, is a good time. It's a lot like Frozen Empire. It's a good time, but it's just got some stuff in it that's such a tonal shift from the first one. Mm. The first one's one of my favorite movies of all time. It's unreal. It's so good.
It's great.
And for that reason alone, I will never say no to seeing the OG Ghostbusters. I know how cheap all the Harold Ramis stuff was in Afterlife. I still liked it because I still really like Harold Ramis. Like,
yeah,
I'm just in. I just want to see these guys. So in the same vein that we were talking about how nobody's supposed to really be in mortal danger in these movies, it's a Ghostbusters movie. Like, I want to see the gang. You know, it was weirdly having Dan Aykroyd talk about how this is how he wants to spend his golden years in the movie as Ray Stantz was like kind of a weird meta moment, because it was like, him telling us that he knows he's still in Ghostbusters movies 40 years later, but it's what he wants to do. He gets to see his friends when he does that. He was just in a movie last year that looked like an absolute dog shit zombie movie with Chevy Chase. I hope you did look up the trailer for that, because like, it's a movie that I can't believe got made, let alone had Dan Aykroyd in it. So if his other options for what movies to be in are that, then yeah, of course he's going to want to come back for a $200 million or $100 million Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah, that's fair. I think I get that 100%. I can't say that's wrong at all. I feel like I could completely, if they had not shown up at all and it had just been the new cast.
Yeah,
I think I would have been fine with it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would have accepted
it. I wouldn't have thrown a tantrum. That wouldn't have been a beef with the movie. I think the rest of the crew is nice and endearing enough that I like spending time with them. I mean, it's Paul freaking Rudd. I just love hanging out with Paul Rudd and McKenna Grace, who, by the way, we did cover Ghostbusters Afterlife on our pod. Mm. Now it's been a couple years. Go back and listen to it if you're interested. McKenna Grace won our Actor of the Year award at the Rennies that year. She's amazing. She's going to be a star. I mean, she's still so young. She's going to be a star. She's incredible.
Have you looked up the stuff that she's been in? I have no idea, shockingly little. Her most recent big credit after this is the Paw Patrol movie. And it feels like she isn't really, she's going to need something to kind of break through to the next part of the stratosphere, because I really truly think she has real deal star power. It's wild. She's like 18 years old and she can command like
17 years old.
She's 17. That's even crazier.
Isn't that nuts?
Did you have that kind of stage presence on film when you were 17? She's carrying a franchise movie, dude. It's nuts.
Honestly, I saw her. I remember seeing her in Gifted in 2017, which I think I've always argued is just like a perfect trailer, better than the movie like thing. The trailer for that movie's great. Yeah. And it's Chris Evans taking care of his like his niece, who is like a super genius. Apparently the whole family's super geniuses, but she is like has all this potential and the grandmother wants to put her at in college right away. And he's like, but she has to be a kid. That's what her mom would have wanted, you know, and it's great. And she's so good in it and she crushes. And she's like been great since, when was that? 2017. So she's been doing this forever. I mean, as a kid, she's in Young Sheldon, Annabelle Comes Home, Troop Zero, Fuller House. She's in Fuller House. Like she's been doing stuff this whole time, but there will be a tier where she like she's a great actress. Yeah, like she's legit good.
That's what's crazy.
I don't know if she's going to be famous, but she's going to be like, she could just work forever, I think.
Dude, I fucking hope. That's exactly what's wild to me is that all the other things on a resume on IMDb, they're kid parts. So like Young Sheldon, that's a kid part. Fuller House, that's a kid part. But she's like got the stuff. She's got the real charisma to do this. And it's like, it's wild to me that she hasn't, I guess, what are the kid parts that have been out? Like maybe she went up for Ellie in The Last of Us. Maybe like, I could see her doing that kind of thing easy. Yeah, she would have been great. No shade to Bella Ramsey, but
I do now. I kind of want to see that, but I think she can do anything. She's a star.
Yeah,
sorry, I really like this Emily.
Get back to the cast.
What were we talking about?
Emily Ann Lind, I think you're about to say.
Well, I did want to say Emily Ann Lind is also, she's great in this. Mm-hmm. They're very fun together. I feel like that is enough momentum to carry me forward without the original, without the OGs. I like Carrie Coon. Then they somehow introduce, and Finn doesn't do anything in this movie.
Nothing.
He's just kind of there. He gets slimed a couple times. He could have done more. I don't necessarily think Finn's a movie star at all.
No. Yeah. I'm right there with you.
But I think he could be funny in this and utilized more in a way that would be satisfying to watch. They also left a lot on the floor, I think, with like, they've got all these gadgets they're working on. They come up with like a hand laser. They didn't do any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the best things about the female reboot of Ghostbusters, I thought, was all of the cool weapons they had.
Yeah.
And Kate McKinnon pulling out all this stuff and just like being the shit. Like that was by far the coolest part of that movie. And it was very cool. And I think they could have just done that with the new cast and this would have been incredible. But yeah, it's good to see the guys. Bill Murray crushes immediately. I mean, he's still got it. We both lost our shit. We were both the only people in the theater who lost our shit when Dan Aykroyd's like, I gave up smoking like 20 years ago. And Bill Murray's like, I was proud of you then and I'm proud of you now. And he's just got this dry delivery that is so fun. And it's incredible. He's kind of, I think I've said this on the pod before, but Paul Rudd, I think, is a great heir to Bill Murray in a lot of ways. And I think they do very similar things comedically, where like they both are like fourth wall breaky and like commentary. They both comment on things around them, but it's in a very fun, charming way. And it's very forgivable compared to the way, you know, a lot of actors end up doing that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know I've talked on the pod before about how my chosen heir to Bill Murray is Tatiana Maslany, because her sense of humor in She-Hulk was pretty locked in to like his irreverence, albeit, you know, like a modern version of it. Like when you watch Venkman in the original Ghostbusters now, he's a huge creep. He won't get out of Sigourney Weaver's apartment. He does not seem like a hero. You don't really want to be rooting for this guy. So that's something where, yeah, Paul has kind of like weaponized a much more lovable version of it. His Bustin' Made Me Feel Good bit. Great. So fun. Him doing the whole song. It works. That could be such a corny moment. He sells the hell out of it. He also sells the hell out of the plot in this movie where he is trying to figure out whether or not he's this kid's dad or not, because he and Carrie apparently haven't had a DTR talk yet. Like, what's going on here?
I hated that, and it's fine. It was still good. It doesn't make any sense that she is so McKenna Grace in this, her character Phoebe is 16, right?
I think
thing happened in the first Ghostbusters 2 years ago, or Ghostbusters Afterlife happened 2 years ago. So she was 14. Mm-hmm. Paul Rudd at the time was her favorite science teacher. Mm-hmm. And then they met in Ghostbusters Afterlife. Him and Carrie Coon met. And then now we've seen that they've been dated. They've been together forever since. So maybe 2 years.
Yeah.
That seems like, for a 14-year-old, maybe I haven't been in that situation, but as a 14-year-old, someone your mom's been dating for 2 years that you've had a pre-existing relationship with as an adult, calling them dad seems like a lot to ask for.
You think? You know? 2 years. 2 years is a long time, Tim.
But you're like 14, doesn't she? She like must have a dad, right? She's already like talking to this thing. It just felt like a little early. And I think he's very honest with like, what can I do with the kids? Mm-hmm. I think that's like a very real step parent situation, is like overstepping. I love these kids, but do I get to discipline and do those kinds of things? Also, Finn's 18. So it's really just Phoebe, who was a student in his class. It's just, they already had a dynamic going, and then to switch that into, you know, I don't know. It just makes it a little Matilda for me, you know, like a little, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Hey, if we've got any, you know, people with step parents listening to this, please send us an email. Let me know when you started calling your step parent dad. let's take a poll. I'll put it up on Zoom. I'll put it up on the Spotify polls that nobody looks at ever. Yeah. I'll say, how long did it take for you to call your stepdad dad? As a teenager, but I don't know. But you buy it. You think it's cute. You think it's sweet. Do you buy when McKenna Grace says that, calls him dad at the end?
I do. I like that it wasn't so definitive. It was kind of like, it was like a little bit sheepish. It wasn't like a big triumphant like movie ender. It felt pretty realistic for what like a first utterance of that kind of a thing would probably be like. And yeah, I really appreciated that. I don't know in general that I love the angle of the current Ghostbusters being a family and the whole aspect of it kind of mapping onto like a family road trip when they're in the car. That's a little weird to me, but if everybody wasn't as charismatic as they were, I think it would have fallen apart totally.
Yes, I can see that. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
I kind of the four of them in the car arguing about stuff and Ghostbuster hunting with these new, like with the side thing. I think there's something there. I could have watched the whole movie of that, I think. But I don't know. They also brought the incredible character Podcast.
Yes.
Still going by Podcast.
You betcha.
It's been 2 years for McKenna Grace. It's been 8 years for Podcast. He's grown 3 feet. He's got facial hair. He's chain smoking cigarettes in this basement, in Dan Aykroyd's basement, and pretending to his parents that he is constantly launching space shuttles into orbit. So I'm glad we got Podcast again. Very, very strange character. Are you excited to see Podcast again? Are you excited, man, to meet any of these other characters either?
I mean, James Acaster and like Kumail and stuff. Yeah. James Acaster really worked for me in this. I thought that's like a really fun addition, is like Rye, basically like IT guy, playing kind of the role of like Q from the James Bond movies, which is just a blast. I like the world building. I'm down for, in terms of like, yeah, of course, you know, if they're caring about this stuff and they have this money from Ernie Hudson, then they're going to be working on building out more of an infrastructure for this. But it's so funny. I had no qualms with it until you brought up the fact that the firehouse is in shambles. And it's so obviously because, like, if we'd gotten into this movie and suddenly the firehouse is like, you know, looks like a modern, like Long Island City apartment, I would hate it. I would despise it. The firehouse has to look like a shithole, but there's no story reason that it should be a shithole anymore. There's no support for that. Oh, it would also suck if they had to like recover it again. I just don't know what you do with that. But I do dig that they've bought this other facility and they're developing stuff there. And I like what he's doing. The drone thing was really cool. While we're talking about gadgets that got dropped in, like the drone ghost trap was sick. The little like ghost sucker thingies. Sure. You know, why the fuck not? A little convenient for the whole thing later where they haven't been finalized on people yet. And then she's like, yeah, well, if I set this for 2 minutes, then it'll only suck my soul out of my body for 2 minutes. Then it'll go back in. That, we never saw that. We never saw that, dude.
The ghost sucking thing is very weird. It's a fun mechanic. I thought maybe they could do something where they're putting ghosts into stuff. That would be cool. That'd
be great. But like, as it stood, it was too Casper. It was just Casper.
So in this story, I know we're talking about a 17-year-old girl, but
where is this going?
She killed herself.
Oh yeah.
To fuck this ghost, right? she unalived herself to fuck this hot fire ghost.
Yeah.
That she's crushing on. Okay, good. I'm glad we're on the same page about that.
That was like, wild.
This is nuts. We have done no human experiments. We've done no human testing. I don't know what's going through her head that she's just like, yeah, it'll work. Definitely. 100%. I will not die here. And if I do die, I get to stay with this ghost that I've, you know, flirted with for 2 days.
I mean, yeah, it's like, why? Well, this opens up a whole Pandora's box, because maybe she's more comfortable with the idea because she's around ghosts all the time. And she knows, like, she has seen proof that it is possible for
that. I like
a cognizant ghost to be around on our plane. But then she also has said to the fire ghost at an earlier point, I forget what the fire ghost name is. Do you remember? It was Melody.
It's not even listed on the cast thing.
It was, I believe, Melody, because it was on the pack of lighter, what do you call this? Little matchsticks.
I don't even think that's actually her name. That's not the character's name. Maybe they called her. Maybe she called her Melody or something. But
I think she did. So she had told Melody earlier in the movie that ghosts remain on Earth because they're like, they have unfinished business. Which then means The Ghostbusters are going around sucking up all these ghosts and keeping them in purgatory instead of helping them finish their unfinished business.
Right.
So, I mean, you got to find a different way around this. You can't say that's what's keeping people there. You got to just not know. Otherwise, it's like you're imprisoning people instead of helping them.
Well, so now at the end of the movie, this what do they call it? The trap, the big trap they've been putting things in. Uh-huh. It exploded. All the ghosts are back out again.
Right.
Which is, I think this is like a perfect reboot scenario where they're just like just the new crew cleaning the stealth up. And maybe the next evolution of this is them like trapping the ghost and then figuring out a way to like solve mysteries involving the ghost and get them, you know, to the aft, like help them solve their unfinished business. I mean, this could be a terrible HBO series where they just, it's like just an episodic, like, you know, monster of the week where they try and help a ghost like figure out why they're still here. And see, then they go to the beyond. I mean, that would solve the trash problem. The trap problem too, where the trap's overloaded.
I love
that.
Which
is interesting.
There's a movie that came out a couple years ago that's, I think, Australian. It's either called like Extra Normal or Super Normal as a play on paranormal, but the star is this medium and she can talk to ghosts and like assist with possessions and stuff. And I'm pretty sure that's what the plot was. I watched it. It was like, it's a very fun movie. Will Forte is the villain in it. So like he's bringing some very fun Will Forte energy, but some of the stuff they do with ghost lore is just really fun. It's a really fun take on like hauntings, and yeah, I'd be up for more of it.
How much does Kamal not fit in this entire story for you?
It's wild. So I don't know, like clearly they have additional plans for Kumail somehow. And like I did not dig the thing where they reveal that in the past there were these fire starters, fire people, and there were
firebenders.
Firebenders. There were four.
And then the Fire Nation attacked.
And
the four elements lived in harmony
until the Fire Nation
united by the Avatar.
But then Phoebe's like, oh, like Ghostbusters. And it's like, this sucks. Anytime anybody tries to take a cool origin story that we've seen and say, actually, that was fated because this pattern plays out every 300 years. It's garbage. Don't tell us that the thing that we saw is not what we saw. Don't undercut us. Like, let the Ghostbusters be a fun accident that happened. I believe in a wild and uncaring universe. And I believe that the Ghostbusters just happened to happen as part of this like wild, chaotic mess that makes up all the universe. I don't want to be told that it's like this thing that's faded from the great beyond. No, it's just Bill Murray doing a cash grab.
Primitive Ghostbusters. It's also like, we know there are primitive Ghostbusters, right? Like there are in this world, there's been ghosts. People must have caught them.
Sure.
People have done magic. You know, maybe there's witches in this. I don't know. I feel like our base reality is that if this happens, other things like this could have been happening. Mm-hmm. And we don't call every, I don't know. We're not calling every medium in the world like also a Ghostbuster or something. You know, it just seems like, you're right. It seems unnecessarily lame, especially because Kumail is like not in a Ghostbuster outfit at the end of the movie. They have 25 people in Ghostbuster uniforms at the end of this movie.
Dude, fucking insane.
Phoebe is the only one that can hurt this thing. And Kumail, who controls fire. I don't know if that's indefinite. Like now, if he's in the next movie, can he just control fire? And that's what they're doing. I had this pitch. I haven't done any other digging to support this. I have no other arguments for this, but I think the past thing you mentioned is a great rule of thumb. I also feel like once you get into an element, it's over.
Yeah, you're toast.
It's over. The fact that they're frozen empire and now, someone can control fire. I think that's when you're scraping the bottom of the creative bucket.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, well, we have to come up with something, you know? Like James Cameron, cool, this is the water episode. Then we're going to see a fire avatar. That'll be fun. Like, it's lame. Have an original thought. Maybe.
You're so right.
Like they did with the Ghostbusters, it's so easy. They could come up with anything. Like, I guess the ice visual is cool. It's neat. I mean, we know what it is. They're having fun, but God, the name Frozen Empire is like, this will not be a good movie.
It's repellent. It's absolutely repellent. It's so bad. Couldn't believe it when I saw it in the title card. The title card is otherwise like a cool throwback to the OG movies. And then Frozen Empire shows up and it's like, really? We thought this was the way to go here. You're totally right about the number of people. That's the one Spencer complaint that I totally agree with, is there's too many characters in this movie and they're all in all of the scenes all of the time. At the end, it listed the cast in order of appearance and it was just one long horizontal line because everybody showed up at the same time and stayed in the movie.
Yeah, they had almost as many characters in Ghostbuster uniforms as Spencer had complaints at the end of the movie.
Yeah, almost as many.
A ton, yeah. And then James Acaster, or whatever, however you say his last name, wasn't even there at the... He got knocked out a window, and then he shows up, and he's like, did I miss anything? So it's like this guy, honestly, one of the best additions to this story going forward, and he's just not there at the end because they had... And it looked packed.
Yeah.
It just looked like the frame was stuffed. Like anyone... Like they had janitors just throwing on Ghostbuster uniforms, random dudes on the street.
Dude,
like
anyone could have done it. Final fight from Endgame. There were so many people packed in there.
Yeah, but at least in that scenario, they had different outfits and they were doing different things. Sure. And then they just have like, you know, people from Wakanda. And then they're like, okay, well, we also just have Doctor Strange people, you know, but we also have Doctor Strange. We got Wong. We got the OGs. And then there's just Infinity in the background. But in this one, it's like, oh, there's a bunch of characters that we've established as individuals and they are all just being thrown together in the background. It's very weird. And then they have this gun thing that they shoot off. The weaponry, I think, is just a big missed opportunity because that one actress, like we see her experimenting with this like fist thing.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out it's just another, it's the same as the PAX.
Yep.
And there's nothing different or unique about it. Nope. It doesn't have a different ability or anything, and they use it at the end and it's just the same. It's the same thing. I feel like that's the missed opportunity, is maybe making these into more of an action movie, I think could be really cool.
Oh, definitely, dude. Also, like, I had a question for you, and these aren't supposed to be, like I said, these aren't supposed to be like horrifying. If anything, they're supposed to be kind of an entry into horror for some audiences. They talk in this movie about how the villain has the ability to kill with fear itself. Like you become so scared, you freeze to death. Kind of seemed like it just froze people to death. Like kind of seemed like it just used ice. Not really fear.
Yeah, it just used ice. There was no fear element to this. Uh-uh. Because there was no, because it really establishes an arc of, you know, them, the hero's journey being facing your fears. Mm-hmm. And that's not what it was. No. It was, you know, learning to get along with your family until you're not a minor anymore. Yep. Like, that's what the moral of the story was call your old teacher dad and don't kill yourself for ghost sex until you're 18. That was pretty much all the plot we got, even though I think it's pretty obvious this is like McKenna Grace's story now and the story of Phoebe.
Yeah.
Kind of going forward.
Yeah, it's really strange. So this movie made $45 million last weekend. Budget was $100 million. It's supposed to make about, like, I guess the rule of thumb is if you make about 50% of your money back, sorry, at least 50% of your money back on opening weekend, you can rest assured you'll probably make the money back from the movie. Hitting 45, it looks like this movie might just underachieve unless things really pick up, which I don't think they're going to. There are effectively no movies out right now, and I still don't think people are really going to like turn up for this upcoming weekend. I don't think they're going to turn up for this on VOD necessarily, because anytime I bring up Ghostbusters Afterlife to anyone, they've never seen it. So is this the end of the Ghostbusters franchise until they decide to reboot it again in 5 years?
We both really liked Afterlife.
Yeah.
You know,
but nobody's seen it. They spent half of this movie telling us what happened in Afterlife because they know that the audience hasn't seen it. I mean, it's heavy handed. It's Basil exposition shit. Like,
I think we're going to get another one of these. That's what I think.
You think one more? one more.
I think they'll wait again, though, because if they want to do anything with the Ghostbusters IP, I think this is as good as it's going to get.
Yeah.
Like another reboot isn't going to make this good. Right.
No. Well, it depends. So like it depends if they want to go with the tone or if they want to go with the, what would you call it? Like props, MacGuffins, like so much of what people know about Ghostbusters now, right? Whether they've seen the original movie or not, so much of what people know about Ghostbusters are the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, Slimer, and the uniforms with the packs that shoot the little beams out of it. And the theme song. The theme song is the number one of all. Like probably the number one thing that's been propping Ghostbusters up all these years is the fact that the theme song is played every single Halloween by everyone. Everyone yeah. plays it at least once a year. So we all think the about it once a
iconic.
Year.
Iconic.
But it's been reduced. Got
Stranger Things doing it.
Yeah. It's been reduced to those like basic elements. And that's all they seem to be interested in fostering now. Like we still have little mini marshmallows in this of Stay Puft. There's no reason Stay Puft still needs to be in this. Stay Puft and Gozer shouldn't have been in Afterlife. It's crazy. Like we need to move forward with this. So they can either keep making these and stick with like those base elements that they've reduced it to, which, you know, it's bankrupt. I love it, but it's bankrupt. They've milked it dry. There's nothing left in there. Or they could go with something with the original tone of the movie and have it be about, you know, kind of like a blue collar story about people who are pragmatic people that are dealing with something that's paranormal as though they're dealing with a cockroach infestation and just cracking jokes about it the whole time and do something interesting with it. Like you said, like make an action movie with one of these.
Yeah, I think the tone, I think they've captured the tone, though, don't you? In this movie and Afterlife?
I don't think so. I think or the at least Bill Murray Afterlife. Moments did. Afterlife definitely had moments. Because, well, yeah, the thing in Afterlife is that the people weren't used to seeing these paranormal entities yet. So most of their reactions were fresh. So it's like they're having that first encounter with it and they don't really know how to behave. Which is relatable to an audience. It's less relatable when we see someone who's very good at reacting to a ghost in front of them.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, I do. I know we're at the end, but I do want, I forget what the female, I feel bad calling it like the female one. I forget what it was called.
It was just Ghostbusters, I think.
It was just Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
But I think a critique of that one was that the tone was very completely different.
Dude, it was wacky.
It was wacky. It was like, it was more of like Bridesmaids or something than Ghostbusters. And that's even an insult to Bridesmaids. Bridesmaids is awesome.
Yeah.
But it was like, it was just a wacky tone as opposed to like Ghostbusters. I feel like it's dry and sarcastic and there's a goofy elements to it, but it's, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think maybe Ghostbusters is just people are losing steam on it. You know, they made one movie where the tone was spot on. They did another reboot where the tone was completely different, but they kept the world of Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. So they've tried both ways and neither have really worked. It seems like so, you know, I don't know. It might be what it is. I bet we get one more with this crew. If I was a betting man and had to put money on it, what do you think?
Yeah. Man, I don't know. If it doesn't make its money back, I think it's dead because they killed the Fantastic Beasts franchise. So like, I think if it doesn't make $100 million, it's dead. If it comes in at like 98, I think it's dead. If it cracks to like 105, I think we get one more.
They'd also made three of those Beasts movies though, hadn't they?
Yeah. The first,
so that's one a trilogy.
Made money. The second one, I think, maybe evened out. And the third one, I think, lost a bunch of cash.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I'm betting on another one. They at least got to do one with an older McKenna Grace. That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Let us know. What did you think? Did you see it? Was it good? Send us an email. nerdyfor30@gmail.com. We'll read it on the show. We love reading emails. We never get any emails. We would love to. We will see you again here next week. Until then, stay nerdy, everybody. Bye.
Stay nerdy. Bye.